My father has a great big family, and there are many children beside me. And if you're wondering how he divides his time, just let me say I never stand in line. He loves me like I was his only child. Never felt such love before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. He never favors me above the rest, but I can't help but say that I've been blessed. He treats me best, I often say, but all my father's children feel this way. He loves me like I was his only child. Never felt such love before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child.
All right. Well, we've been having some of the guys preach over the last few weeks, and we're going to have Brother Chim come up tonight. Brother Chim's been great help in our school, running the school. I took it over when we sent Brother Beck out to be the pastor at Monterey Park, although he was really doing a lot of the work before Brother Beck left, because Brother Beck's involved at Monterey Park. So Brother Chim, why don't you come?
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Myers. Please stand with me. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13. We're going to look at a few verses there, and actually we'll just kind of stay in this passage, and some of the men have a handout to pass out to you, if you guys can do that right now. Matthew chapter number 13. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9, then we're going to skip over to verses 18 to 23. Matthew chapter number 13, starting with verse number 1. The Bible says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him." And by the way, Jesus always drew a crowd. And by the way, he drew a crowd the right way. He drew a crowd loving people, healing people, teaching people the word of God. He was the word of God, amen. And that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And let's skip down to verse number 18 to 23, please. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Here's the application now. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." So first we read that the fowls came to devour those seeds. Now we read that the wicked one has come. "This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, materialism, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And let's pray this evening. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open up the Bible and to preach thy word, to hear thy word, to have the opportunity at giving the response that you so crave, that you so desire, a good response whenever the word of God is preached. I pray that decisions will be made tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that we will decide on purpose as a result of the word of God being preached to us tonight, that we will decide to draw closer to you and help us to be more like you after today, not because of the preacher, but because of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing. The title of the message is already clear. I'm sure it's the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And Jesus Christ was, or is, the master teacher, amen. By the way, as a preacher, as a teacher, we try to do our best to work on our ability to communicate. But one person that we ought to model ourselves after is Jesus Christ. He had the unique ability to take scenes from everyday life and use them to teach profound spiritual truths. And this is why he used parables. There's a lot of reasons why Jesus used parables, and I'm not going to get into that for sake of time, but one of the reasons why Jesus used parables is because it makes the truth more palatable. It gives us maybe a clearer understanding to the truth sometimes. With illustrations comes maybe a clearer path to understanding what Jesus has to say. He began to talk about an image with which everyone at that time in that crowd present was familiar. He talked about agriculture, right? He talked about farming. He talked about a man taking seed into a field. He pictured that man casting the seed upon the earth. This seed fell upon ground and landed upon four different types of soils that we've mentioned and we will continue to mention in just a little bit here. This seed fell upon the ground and landed upon four different types of soils. Some of the seed brought forth fruit, while the other seed didn't bring forth anything. Now, Jesus uses this parable to explain to his followers that there are different responses to the word of God based on that soil. And by the way, I'm here to say tonight that the word of God will be preached tonight. The word of God will be preached again Sunday morning during Sunday school. The word of God will be preached again during faithfulness rally, during morning service, during evening service. Maybe the word of God is preached on your radio. Maybe it's preached on your iPod or your MP3 player. But when the word of God is preached, understand, Christian, that there are four responses. There are four different responses, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit here. First of all, I'd like to take a look at the plan of the sower. The sower had the intention of reaping a profit from the crop that he was sowing. This man that Jesus illustrates had the purpose behind casting that seed. That purpose was to produce fruit. It wasn't an abundance amount of crop that he had, and he just wanted to make a mess on the floor. He had a specific desire to produce fruit. And by the way, God is a sower in our lives, amen? And as God is a sower, God intentionally sows with the purpose of producing fruit. God is in the fruit-producing business. And that's why I believe God led our pastor to come up with this theme of reaching them, producing fruit, and then teaching them to be fruit producers themselves. Amen? When we reach them, they become our fruit. But when we teach them, they can be fruit producers. Praise God for the fruit-producing business. Jesus wants to produce fruit in our lives. I believe in John 15:8, the Bible says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that my children," I'm paraphrasing, "produce fruit." And God wants that fruit to remain. So in other words, God's intention of giving us a Bible and giving us a tool of prayer, giving us a pastor, giving us a church, by the way, a great local church that preaches God's word, is not so we can have our minds filled with knowledge, but it's so that he can produce fruit in our lives. You know, a lot of people, they'll have different opinions about what God's will is. You know, God's going to want me to do this and God's going to want me to do that. I believe God's going to want me to move here. Ultimately, it can be summed up in one way. God wants you to produce fruit. Amen. God wants me to produce fruit. Now, we saw the plan of the sower. Let's look at the potential of the seed. The word of God represents that seed, as I mentioned a little while ago. Every seed that was sown in this parable had the potential to produce more seed. You can see that in verse number 8 and 23 with the good soil. And by the way, farmers understand this. When a farmer plants one seed, and they rarely ever just plant one seed, but when they throw down a seed, they understand that that seed is going to yield more than just one fruit. That seed is going to yield a plant that's going to produce more seeds and produce more fruit, and it's going to multiply, and year upon year, it's going to continually bring forth fruit from that original one seed. And by the way, that's God's desire in our lives. Hey, I'm glad if we produced fruit last year, but God wants to see fruit this year, amen? And God wants to see fruit next month, and God wants to see fruit the month after that, and continually, he wants to see fruit multiply in our lives. Such is true in the spiritual seeds. The seed that we have has the potential to begin small, all right? Could just be a message, a 30-minute message, and don't worry, it won't be any more than that, all right? A 30-minute message. It could be small, but yet it can reproduce much. It can reproduce much. This is true in our lives. We may have insignificant self-image of ourselves. We may say, well, you know what? I don't have a great background. I can't possibly produce the fruit that God is speaking of in this chapter here. I can't possibly produce the same amount of fruit as that man over here. He grew up in a Christian home. I can't possibly produce as much fruit as Pastor Myers. He's a pastor. Well, I have good news for you. God is not a respecter of person. If he can produce fruit in Pastor Myers' heart and life, he can produce fruit in ours, and he wants to produce that fruit. Something significant to also consider is that it is true that the seed potentially changes the ground in which it is planted. What do you mean by that? So you have a barren ground, and you have some seed. And that ground is barren for a reason, because it's hard, it's compacted, there's nothing growing, it reminds you of the desert. But when you till that ground, when you condition the soil, when you prep that soil, and you get everything ready, and then you plant the seed, and then it receives the seed, and then it gets the nutrient, guess what? That's not barren anymore. That seed changes that ground. Well, guess what? The word of God is that seed, and we may be barren as a Christian, but the seed of the word of God can change our ground. And I'd like to say in 2019, God has changed my ground. God has changed me. When he saved me in 1995, I was destined for a life of failure. I was destined for a life of corruptness. I was destined for a life of just living enslaved to sin. But Jesus reached down and he brought down that seed. And by God's grace, God allowed my soil, the soil of my heart, to be conditioned just enough to receive that seed day in and day out when the word of God is preached. And I'm here today by the grace of God. By the way, don't ever discount the power of that seed, which is the word of God. When you came to church this evening, don't discount the fact that it's just another 30-minute message, or you have a sub for our real preacher, our pastor. Don't discount the fact that when the Bible is open, it potentially has the ability to revolutionize your life, not just a little bit, but a lot. Yep. One message from the word of God can help an addict when it comes to alcohol or drugs or pornography. One message from the word of God can help a broken marriage. One, we don't need series. And by the way, sometimes we do need series because of the hardness of our heart. But potentially speaking, the word of God is powerful enough to help you with your addictions tonight. The word of God is powerful enough to help you with your sin tonight. The word of God is powerful enough to restore that broken relationship between you and your son or your daughter or in your marriage. The word of God is powerful enough, and we must understand the potential of the seed. Oftentimes we don't. That's why we walk in and we walk out with no change, because we think it's just another sermonette that's just going to tickle our ears. It's not the sermonette. It's the word of God. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. God's word can change your life, but only if you let it. But remember, the key is that the soil must be prepped, ready to receive the seed. It must be prepped. Now, let's discuss the problem of the soils. We saw the plan of the sower. We saw the potential of the seed. Now let's look at the problem of the soils. As the sower sowed his seed, it fell upon four different kinds of soil, as we read. And we'll name them in just a little bit. But each soil initially was good soil. And by the way, that's something I kind of saw this time around looking at this chapter here. Initially, I thought, man, that's just bad soil. But if you look into it, each of the soil in itself was actually good soil. But the difference was what? The condition and the environment behind that soil. The good soil didn't have good condition, and as a result, it did not bring forth any fruit whatsoever. This time of the year, many people will make what we call New Year goals or New Year's resolutions. And by the way, if you're one of those people, I'm all for it. You can't have a changed life unless you believe that you can have a better year, amen? You can't grow in your walk with God unless you set some goals. You can't grow in your marriage unless you set some goals. But I believe one of the reasons, and again, everyone has their opinion, but I believe one of the reasons why New Year's resolutions are set and then New Year's resolutions are not reached time and time again in our life maybe is because of this one thing I'm going to share right now. It's because we are not properly evaluating our starting point. We're just setting goals amiss. Oh, I'm going to go and I'm just going to work out. Okay, great. Why? I'm going to go and I'm going to eat better this year. Okay, why? I'm going to go and I'm just going to have this. My marriage is going to be better. No, before we can ever set any goals, the Bible reminds us through Psalms and through David's life that we must search our heart and examine ourselves. For what purpose? So we know where we're at. My marriage is fine and perfect if I'm not sitting there thinking about how it could be better. My relationship with my children, I guess, is fine if I'm not really thinking about it. But in the fact and reality is, if I want my marriage to be better, before I can ever set goals, I must talk to my wife and say, honey, what do we need to work on this year? I know I love you and I know you love me, but based on 2018 and every year before that, what are some things and some stumbling blocks in our marriage and our relationship that we need to work on? And then we set goals accordingly. The same with our children. Children, I know I think I love you. I know everyone thinks that I love you. But based on your opinion of my love and the time that I give to you, what do I need to work on as a dad? What do I need to work on as a mom? And then we set goals accordingly. We don't just go to the dentist and say, you know what, dentist, I got a pain right here. I just need you to drill. Oh, can we check into it? No need to check. Just drill. Okay, and you know what? I got a couple $1,000. Put a little dental implant right there. Well, don't you want me to check the tooth? Oh, there's no need. Just do what I say. No, what do you do beforehand? Get an x-ray. By the way, am I the only one that has a hard time with x-rays? I feel like my mouth is just deformed. You know, I see all these other people bite here. I'm over here. Ah, I can't even bite. You know, I mean, it's like a piece of paper too. I don't know why paper hurts so much, all right? And I feel like they take forever and they're just waiting for you to wince in pain before they click it, okay? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the radiation. I'm not sure. However, you go get an x-ray. They examine your teeth. They get an overview of everything that needs to be worked on. And then they develop a plan and they fix the problem for you. We must have a proper self-evaluation if we're going to have a good 2019. And by the way, that's why we're going to look at these soils and see which one we are with an honest evaluation. And then after we develop that honest evaluation and we identify which soil we are as a Christian, then we can make goals accordingly. Okay? Here we go. Let's take a closer look at each of the soils in this parable. Number one, the wayside soil. Let's look at verse number 4 and 19 again. The Bible says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Verse number 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, the word of God, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Okay, first we see the fowls, and now it's associated with the wicked one. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The wayside refers to the narrow footpaths that ran alongside the field. And thus it produced hard soils. You can imagine a footpath, and there's dirt there. And it's compacted because of all the feet and all the people that tread upon that area. And as they step on it, it compacts it even more. It compacts it even more. And it becomes very, very hard soil. This pictures a heart that hears the word of God but doesn't understand it for different reasons. You know, one reason could be because they're so steeped in sin that they refuse to understand and believe the word of God. By the way, this could speak of unsaved people. The word of God is preached to them. The gospel is being delivered unto them. People are pleading, mom, dad, get saved. Brother, sister, get saved. Loved one, get saved. Co-worker, get saved. And the word of God is delivered and the invitation is given. But they refuse to believe it because you're steeped in sin. Their heart is what we would call hard. This could be the person that's cold towards the things of God. The things of God do not entertain them. The things of God do not fascinate them. You could talk to them about the Lakers. You could talk to them about the Warriors. You can talk to them about basketball or football. You could talk to them about food. And by the way, food is a good topic, amen? You can talk to them about racing or whatever it may be. However, when you talk about the things of God, the conversation goes quiet. Why? They can't add to it. They haven't cultivated any desire to speak spiritually. But you want to test if someone loves God or not, talk to them about spiritual things. By the way, let me say this. Don't feel uncomfortable if someone talks to you about spiritual things. That's what Christians ought to do. Every conversation doesn't, I love talking about food, but every conversation doesn't have to be just about food. Every conversation doesn't just have to be about sports. We ought to be able to talk to one another spiritually without judging one another, saying, you're just trying to be spiritual. Well, duh, I'm trying to live for God, amen. I'm trying to be spiritual. Help me out here. This picture is a hard heart. The soil is so hard that when the word of God is preached, when the seed is being delivered, the soil is so hard it cannot penetrate the soil. And as a result, the word cannot germinate. And it cannot produce fruit. If the seed doesn't penetrate, the fowls, which we would consider the devil, which the Bible pictures as the devil, will come and snatch it away. Maybe you've heard of people coming to church before, and hopefully it's not been you, and maybe it's been you in the past, where they come to hear the word of God just like everybody else. And right when the message is over, they'll step outside, they'll pull out their phone, they'll get in their car, they'll turn their music on, and they forget every seed that was thrown their way. What was the preaching on? I mean, you're talking about 5 minutes after the service. I don't know. Well, you know what the Laker game was like 5 weeks ago. You remember all these other details that have no significance to them. And the sermon is preached. Sometimes the next day you're hungry. I get it. It takes a little time to register. It doesn't hurt to go online and re-listen to the sermon. But we're talking about 5 minutes afterwards. That means the word of God never was able to penetrate. And we wonder why we don't have God's blessings. And we wonder why we live our lives so void. And we wonder why we accuse a Christian life of not being joyful. It's not the Christian life's fault. It's because our heart is hard. So that's the first soil. The second soil is the stony soil. Can everybody say the stony soil? Verse 5 through 6, the Bible says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 20 to 21, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, and hopefully I'm saying this right, because God, I think God just gave it to me, and if not, I don't know, I've got something over here speaking to me here. The Bible tells us, and I heard this often, I think it's misquoted by a lot of people, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And they say that if you love God, nothing ever will offend you. Well, no, great peace have they which love thy law, and thy law, in thy law, nothing will offend you. Nothing will offend you. And the Bible tells us here that this type of ground, if you have it, the word of God, because of the word by and by, he is offended. By the way, when's the last time you were offended when something was preached from the word of God that maybe made you a little uncomfortable? When was the last time maybe our faith was tested by the pastor and we got offended, even though he used scripture to back it up. The stony soil is a thin layer of topsoil on top of rock. They call it topsoil for a reason. We buy topsoil to enhance the soil that you have in your backyard, but it doesn't help a whole lot if you throw topsoil on top of a sheet of rock. But this is what this pictures. This soil looks good from the outside, from the top, and the seeds will even germinate very quickly because it's very thin soil. But because there is no depth, when the sun beats down, it will wither and die because there is no depth. This picture is the heart that makes emotionally based decisions with shallow commitment. There is no depth. Oh, there is no depth. It represents the Christian occasionally that gets excited about the things of God and maybe even makes decisions for Christ. It represents a teenager that goes to camp and man, because maybe the trees smell really good that day and they're away from their PS4 or their Xbox or their iPhones and YouTube, they're away from Wi-Fi, that they get a hold of God and they make a decision, any decision that the preacher preaches on, and I'm all for youth camp, but they make any decision, but right away when they drive down that mountain because there is no depth. I guess I didn't have to make that decision in that way. I mean, I can also kind of trim that up a little bit and still be a good Christian by doing this, and they go back on their word. Why? By the way, I'm not trying to beat you up here. We're trying to identify. God is using his word to show us a different type of responses. Yep. And I believe a lot of us get frustrated, myself included sometimes, when there's no depth behind our decisions. We get frustrated because we ask ourselves, I don't understand. I made a decision for God. A tear even flowed down my cheek. I went to that camp. I went to that youth conference. I went to that marriage retreat. I wanted to do right. Why is it not lasting? Because we have stony soil. There's no depth. There's no depth. It's shallow. Some would refer to this type of Christianity as flash in the pan Christians. Now, one day, man, what ministry can I join? Man, I love God. This is great. The next day, they won't even be at church. They don't even want to respond to your text messages when you ask them, hey, where you been? Flash in the pan. By the way, that's not a desirable soil. Number one was the wayside soil. Number two was the stony soil. Number three is the thorny soil. Verse number 7, the Bible says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse number 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. Those aren't my words. And the deceitfulness of riches. By the way, we've heard this oftentimes. Nothing wrong with money, but there's a deceitfulness out there that tells you that money is far superior to God's blessings. Money is far superior to God's presence. Money is far superior than a walk with God. Let me say something. Money is an asset, but if you don't have the word of God, if you don't have God's presence in your life, you don't have nothing. Now, what, the richest divorce ever, a man that was worth $130-something billion and one day lost half of it. By the way, that's not really a good illustration because he still has $67 billion, amen? Moving right along here. The thorny soil also looks like good soil, but underneath the surface are living roots, seeds of thorns and weeds. I'm sorry, I didn't even read the rest of it. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. All that God is trying to do through every time the seed is being planted in your heart, choke the word, choke the seed, and he becometh unfruitful. He becometh unfruitful. This soil also looks good, as I mentioned, but underneath that good-looking surface are living roots of seeds, of thorns and weeds. And by the way, I don't know much about lawn care, but one thing I do know is that weeds, they have thick roots and they don't mess around. They don't compete with grass. They take over. Okay, that's why they spread like wildfire. Why? It demands so much nutrients and it just steals all the nutrients from everything that you want in your lawn. With this soil, seeds spring to life quickly, but the thorns and the weeds quickly grow as well. And what happens? It chokes out the good seed. It chokes it out. This picture is the heart that tries to benefit from the gospel. They want to do right, but they still cling to the world. They see the product that comes from living the committed life, but they don't want to endure the process. They see that when you walk with God, there's a joy that you cannot replace. They see the kids living right. They see the marriage have a true happiness and joy about them. They're actually holding hands, and not just at church in front of people, amen. But man, they have a depth of love. They see this excitement in serving God in ministry and spending money to take people out to eat. They see that there's a joy that they want. But they also understand, I want that product, but I don't want that process. We'll talk about that in a little bit there. They want the best of both worlds. They fool themselves into thinking that they can live both lives, as if their church attendance and occasional service for God will justify or balance out their worldliness or lack of devotion. By the way, this is a battle that I believe one of the biggest battles Christians face. We try to replace our devotion to God by our service for God. And by the way, we've seen it. Jesus kind of rebuked Martha when she was in the kitchen doing all that work, and Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus said she had chosen the better thing. By the way, be at the foot of Jesus and work as well, amen. That's the best thing, all right? But that was the better thing, if that was to be an option. And I believe sometimes because of our church attendance, and that's great. And I believe sometimes because of our giving and our tithing, hey, that's important. That's commanded in the Word of God. But none of that should replace your walk with God. None of that should replace your devotion with God. And if you plan on trying to have that replace it, you're going to eventually burn out. The thorns and the weeds will eventually choke you out. The Bible says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. What am I going to do? Am I going to live for God today? Am I going to live for the devil today? Am I going to be with my wife today, or am I going to look at this other woman today? Am I going to follow my husband today, or am I going to follow some other man today? Am I going to live for God as a teenager today, or am I going to live for my peers today? What is it? And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's make sure that we don't have that thorny soil. And then lastly here is the good soil. The good soil. This ground, actually, let me go ahead and read this very quickly here. Verse number 8, but it fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in 100-fold, some 60-fold, and 30-fold. And in verse number 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. The only ground that we see here bearing proper fruit here and bringeth forth some in 100-fold, great multiples here, some 60, some 30, I think 100-fold. I don't have it written down. I think that's like 1,000% if you say that correctly. I'm not getting any nods here, so I could be wrong, but I think that's 1,000%. Okay, but regardless, that's a lot of seed and a lot of fruit that's being produced. This good soil represents ground that has been worked and prepared. The farmer understands that to have good ground, you must be diligently upkeeping it on a daily basis. The plant can grow to full maturity and then produce fruit that brings honor and gain and profit to the farmer. This picture is the heart that has been diligently prepared by the faithful Christian through the grace of God. In other words, daily time is spent in the Bible. Daily time is spent in prayer, tilling that ground. Daily time is spent resisting the devil, conditioning that soil. Daily time is spent submitting to God, making sure that you loosen up that soil so it's not hard. Daily time is spent in preparation. We must understand that living for God and having good soil isn't something that you attain and you keep forever. I have written down here, I wrote right just before the service here, we must know that good titles don't mean good soil. As a principal, as an assistant pastor, great job, but that doesn't mean I have good soil. As a Christian leader, that doesn't mean you have good soil. As a Sunday school teacher, that doesn't mean that you have good soil. As a bus captain, that does not mean that that title by itself, that good title, equates to you or me having good soil. It is something that we must constantly work at. It's nothing that we can attain and keep forever. Paul said, I die daily. We must continually resist the devil and submit to God. Now the obvious goal is good soil, amen. Out of these four soils that I've read, three of them are undesirable, but unfortunately, three of them are present oftentimes in a Christian's life. One of them is desirable, and that's the good soil. Let me give you three things, and we will be done on time, if not a little bit early here. Let me share three steps that will help us to have good soil. Number one, decide to make God your priority. The Bible says in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. One definition for preeminence is surpassing all others. Superiority. God must be the priority in our lives. God must be the priority in our lives. In other words, above all else that we pursue, it may be health, it may be a good marriage, it may be a great relationship with our kids, it may be financial stability, which is a great goal to accomplish in life. It may be to get out of debt, though I encourage you, live by a budget and live within your means. Those are all great goals. It may be to lower your cholesterol count, your high blood pressure numbers, but the greatest goal of all is to make Jesus Christ our preeminent one and our priority and superiority in our lives. Amen. He ought to have the priority. Got a question. Does he have about all the things that we have to take care of? Man, I got to do this. I got to do that. I can read my Bible later. I can spend time with God later. But the Bible says, hold on here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then what? All those things that you worry about, all those things shall be added unto you. We'll take care of it. Spend time on the most important part. And we'll take care of everything else. This includes faithful church attendance. This includes a daily devotional life, seeking first God's kingdom. This includes faithful giving to the cause of Christ. It's God's kingdom. This includes faithfully serving in his work. That's God's ministry. It's God's kingdom. We have soul winning starting up. Of course, we do it every Saturday, but we have it again on Tuesday. Let it not be something that we have to beg people to come to. Amen. As children of God, it's an opportunity to, number one, reach some fruit. And then number two, teach them to be fruit-bearing Christians themselves. Let's be here for that if possible. Number two, so number one, make God the priority. Number two, be willing to endure the process to get the product. Be willing to endure the process to get the product. You know, a lot of times you go to an amusement park or you go to some restaurant, you see this massive line, but you know on the other side of that line, man, it's going to be good food. It's going to be something that, man, it's going to make my mouth water. It's already making it water. It's going to give me true contentment. It's going to make me fulfilled. I mean, I can go get ribs over there, but when I go to Phil's Barbecue, that's just another level. I mean, I can go get pho over here, but when I go to this restaurant, man, that's another level. You know, the other day, my nephew and I wanted to check out Taco Nazo. Any of you ever been to Taco Nazo? I heard that's a spot. Let me tell you something, though. I wasn't willing to wait 5 hours, amen. I did the math. 5 minutes went by. We moved 3 inches. That's not a good mathematic equation right there, okay? By the way, I'm sure it was worth it. But can I tell you something? There's a process to get the product. Farmers prepping the soil to get it right and keep it right understand that the more effort that I put tilling this ground, the more effort that I put conditioning the soil, the more effort I put aerating this ground and loosening it up, the better opportunity I have at producing fruit. At producing fruit. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. So trial is more precious than gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Joseph is a great illustration. From the pit to the palace, all these trials, to the prison, back to the palace. Good night. But he had to endure all of that for what purpose? For the product. He was a type of Jesus Christ. He was a savior of the world at that time. Think about that. There is a tremendous process to get a tremendous product. I believe some of us in here, we want great kids. I believe that with all my heart. I believe some of us in here, all of it, we want great marriages. I believe all of us want to be able to look in a mirror and see a man or a woman that loves God sincerely. I believe that. I believe every ministry worker or leader in this auditorium wants your ministry to jump leaps and bounds in 2019. I know I've got goals for the school, got goals for my class. I've got goals for some of the teachers, all of the teachers. I've got goals for my individual life and opportunities to win souls. I've got goals. Why? Because I want to do something for God. But I understand behind every goal and every desire is a process that I must put in place. Yes, sir. We must understand that there's a process for the product. But we must be willing to endure it. Are you going to be like me, like at Taco Nazo, all these great raving reviews? Let's go, Mark. I'm not ready to endure it. And I believe that's how some of us treat the Christian life. Okay, man, I want this. I want that. We go to couples retreat. We hear Pastor Ray preach. And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, okay, we're fine the way we are. And we never reach the potential that God would have us reach. Number three, and I'm done. We normally get done at 8:05. It's 8:01 right now. I'll help you look at the clock, all right? Number three, don't allow those with other soils to influence you. Don't allow those with other soils to influence you. By the way, they may look the same on the surface, but if their values are different, you can pray for them, you can help them, but understand that that ground is not your goal. And by the way, this gets misinterpreted a lot. You know, Jesus was a friend of sinners, and I get that. And Pastor Myers has mentioned this, or we're not supposed to have this attitude either, that we're better than people that are not close to God. That isn't the mindset. We shouldn't teach our children that either, to judge people and to just look down at people. We should help people, but at the same time, understand who you can keep as your acquaintance and who you can keep as your friends. Okay? Be careful about allowing people with undesirable soil to be near you because they can influence your soil. A couple months ago, we had the lawnmower guy. He came over and he mowed the lawn, and I started noticing a bunch of weeds pop up. We didn't have weeds. And we confronted him about it very nicely. I said, hey, I got all these weeds. He goes, oh, you know what? That's not from me. That's from your neighbors. And we looked at the neighbors. Nobody had weeds. I go, well, I think you're getting it from your lawnmower, you know, where they're mowing, where you're mowing the lawn, you're taking it with you. And then he took ownership to it. And by the way, he's awesome, charges only $25. And he fixed the problem within a week or so. All the weeds were gone. I have no idea. We have fake grass now, but I have no idea what he did. I saw the bottle said Roundup or something like that. But all the weeds are gone. Basically, what happened was he was using the same lawnmower to cut someone's lawn that had weeds, and he used it to cut my lawn. And as a result, it transferred. I believe sometimes we rub shoulders a little too close with someone, right? More than just beyond the purpose of helping them. And all of a sudden, they start to influence us. Man, why am I still doing this? Why am I giving my Saturdays to God? I could be doing that. I could be part of a club, a bowling league. Why am I serving God in ministry? Look at that. I'll never be able to have this. Why am I? Why am I? Why am I? Why am I so devoted to my wife? These guys look like they're free. That's not true, okay? But why? All of a sudden, they start to influence. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, and I'm done, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Here's my conclusion. How about it tonight? If we're saved, we should strive for the good soil, amen? Yeah. The only soil, by the way, that God can work with and produce fruit in our lives. Let's pray. Father, help us. I pray, dear Lord, to be fruit-bearing Christians. That is your desire. That is your ultimate desire. You make it very clear in your word. And if you take tremendous pleasure in fruit-bearing Christians, then the opposite must remain true. You have tremendous displeasure in Christians that do not produce fruit. And I pray, dear Lord, that in 2019, each and every one of us will make a conscious effort to be properly preparing our soil, our hearts, on a daily basis, so that when the seed is delivered, it can take root. It can grow and produce the fruit that you so much desire in our lives. We love you. Bless our church. I love our church. Help us to have a great 2019 because of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.